Good morning, Lance.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Much better, thank you. I've got a team in here.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. All right, so how's it going up there where you're at?
Oh, just fine. Just planted my last planting of spinach and lettuce, cilantro, green onions. Last for this season, anyways.
And then, so you're going to be harvesting those all sometime in the late summer?
Probably started in, let's see, what is it? Sometime in September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what kind of pest have you been messing with in the last 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, messing with. There's a lot of stuff going on there. The main ones, there's this white fly in the grapes. And it's also, I think it's the same type of white fly. It's also in the apple trees. And
Does it get into the grape itself and eat them?
No. It actually decimates the leaves, and then you don't get photosynthesis.
Hmm.
And then, therefore, the grapes can't ripen.
Hmm.
And the apples on the apple trees, is just the apples don't get big, you know, are larger, and they stay smaller, and they probably won't be as good flavored either.
Do you have this infestation every year?
Some years, yeah.
You think it's moisture related?
No, it just cycles through. The neighbor, he didn't have it at all.
Oh, interesting.
And stuff.
So what are you doing?
There's this organic spray. What is it called?
Kelp?
No. Well, I'm using kelp, but that's a foliar. That's a foliar fertilizer.
What does foliar mean?
Oh, it's, you spray the fertilizer, a liquid fertilizer on. Well, so you're spraying, so it has to be liquid, but you spray it on the underside of the leaves. You do it in the early cool of the day. You can do it in the early morning or when it cools down after evening. And there's these cells, I think they call this somatic cells. There's these cells on the underside of the leaves, and that's how it gets up. They have to be open, and they're only open during the cool of the day. So that's why you spray in the early morning or in the late evening.
Hey, thanks for telling me that.
Yeah. And otherwise, you're spraying in the heat of the day, it's pretty much worthless. But anyways, I'm spraying the stuff that's called gonads. Gonads. And let's see what's in this stuff.
And is it more of a broad application for other pests as well?
No, it's really only for these flying insects. Let's see. Gnats, midges, mites, thrips, aphids, white fly, moss, mosquitoes, ants.
So it works against aphids?
Yeah, but I'm doing it for the white fly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about those bugs that get into the squash? What are those called?
Well, there's the two that are the main problems. There's squash bug, which is the ones that lay the eggs on the
leaves.
Those
real beautiful uniform egg patterns on the back of the leaves.
Yeah, And we've talked a number of times on those.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is the squash vine borer, which is actually it's an fly, or is it a fly or a moth? Well, I'd have to look it up, but I let somebody borrow that insect book. And
how long ago did you let him borrow it?
Just the other day.
Okay, so sometimes you loan books out and you never get them
back. On Wednesday.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
But they had some great pictures and information. So anyways, but it's...
What was that book?
What's that?
What was that book called?
Oh, it was called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
It was by Malcolm Beck and I think a man named Garrett. And Malcolm Beck is a big compost guy down in Texas. And they decided to write this book together. It's actually very good for just the home gardener. It has great pictures, life cycle, the insects, and the whole thing. So it works. And there's probably some insects down there because it was written for Texas. But we have most of those insects here.
Mm-hmm. And it's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Yeah, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
By whom?
Malcolm Beck.
Malcolm Beck,
and,
okay.
And the other author, co-author, the last name is Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so the squash vine borer, the adult lays the eggs at the base of the squash plant, and it burrows in there, and the borer part of the, or which is really the larva of the fly, the adult fly. And it will just decimate it to the point where you got a good-looking plant one day, and the next day it's limp, and the next day it's dead. It happens that fast.
Jeez.
And it just eats all those tissues. So the easiest way there's to deal with that is, as the plants grow, you can throw dirt over the stem so the squash vine, the borer, the adult, can't get to the stem right where it comes out of the ground. And other row covers, and 1 year I was having it, and I cut it early, and I wrapped those stems right at the ground level with aluminum foil, and that worked really good.
That was good.
Yeah.
So what else have you got going on?
Okay, so I mentioned I planted those greens. Just some thinking of insects. Here's the natural predators. I have toads, frogs, lizards, and snakes all over the place.
More than usual?
No, but they are there. They are there. And the toad is spending most of its time in the squash vine, so I'm wondering if it's eating those squash bugs. Stephen, you know, the snakes are all over the place. And I've seen snakes of all things eating slugs, which is good.
Mostly garter snakes, I assume.
Yeah, yeah, all garters. There's actually there's another one that lives here, and it's called a yellow-bellied racer. They're very fast. Oh. They're the pale, greenish-yellow on top, but a yellow bottom.
That's a snake?
That's a snake. And they're very fast, and if you pick one up, they're aggressive. So they'll turn around and bite you.
Mm-hmm. So now, when we were talking about those white flies...
Yeah.
That have to do something with the grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And are those actually grape leaf hoppers?
It could be. It could be another name for them.
Maybe it's also they're like the Virginia creeper. Is that it?
The Virginia creeper gets these tremendously, yes.
I see.
Same insect. So if you really want to clean up the grapevines, you're going to have to clean up the Virginia creeper. And I would suggest this.
Oh.
Yeah, because... they'll just go from the Virginia creeper right over to the grapevines.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that came in as a query from one of our listeners while we were talking.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what else is going on up there at your place?
Let's see. This is the last watering for the dry beans.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I mean, dry beans. I have black beans, and I have Swedish browns, and another one called cranberry. And the fall planted pintos, I'll probably water a couple more times before that I stop watering those.
All right. And so you're putting in those herbs you were talking about earlier, and you're harvesting now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm harvesting, let's see, well, general summer stuff, pole beans, cucumbers, peppers, basil, all the different types of greens, Pinocchio, which is a bulb fennel.
How are your tomatoes doing?
Loaded, but not ripening.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you keep on watering them and then they're planted in fertile soil, they'll grow more than they will ripen. So if you really are a tomato fan, you got to back off a little bit on the watering and not have this. That would be the easiest thing to do, back off on the watering a little bit.
You know, that reminds me, I was talking with somebody here recently about their tomatoes. They were lamenting to me about their tomatoes that they've got really big, green, bushy plants, but they have no tomatoes.
Huh? Yeah.
And I couldn't tell them anything about it.
Well, it's probably pretty simple. Tomatoes have a very narrow range of temperature tolerance, and it's like from 60, 65 to 90, 95. So anything above that temperature, which we had in June, they're not going to pollinate.
Oh, so they didn't pollinate for them, huh?
That's exactly what happened. And you can judge, you'll see it, they'll start pollinating now because it's cooler. But
so that means they'll start forming blossoms now and then pollinating?
Well, they always had blossoms, probably. They didn't set because it was too hot.
Hmm.
And that's the main thing. And so, I'd be really interested. I bet you if they watch, they'll have a late crop, but they're not going to have the early crop.
So forgive me for being dense, but I don't know what the term set means.
Say that again?
You said they're going to set. They won't set.
They'll fruit set. They'll pollinate and set fruit.
Hmm.
That's just a term. You know.
Okay.
And stuff. They'll pollinate, set fruit. It's S-E-T. And,
right.
It's just a word for setting. Set fruit. Yeah, the tomatoes will set fruit when it cools down a little bit, which it has, like I said. But when it gets above 90, 95, you'll start to see blossoms either just fall off and they won't make fruit.
So it doesn't matter whether they're in the shade or not, or if they shade the tomato plants when the temperatures are going to be in an extended period at that point to sort of mitigate against that, it wouldn't matter.
You could, yeah.
Yeah?
It's the temperature that's not the day length of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what they can do next year if they the same pattern holds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's usually June. June's and the first little bit of July that's that hot. Yeah.
All right. Well, then I think that about does it for us today, unless you want to add anything else.
Oh, just I planted those radishes on last Wednesday, and they were up in the daikon radish, and they were up in 4 days.
So was that a record?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. Well, then, if that's about it, we're going to let you go, and congratulations on those radishes.
All right, thanks. You guys have a great day.
Yep, thank you, Lance.
Bye.
Bye now.